Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ageless Health by Dr. Tom Rozell. This podcast is designed for you to bring you the information that you need to keep you well and to discuss those pieces that might be a little controversial, meaning that there's multiple pieces to the discussion. But we want you to have all the information that you possibly can have and to be able to lead you through a world of controversy, if you will, much like what's going on today in the world of COVID. And matter of fact, that's going to be our topic today. As we get into the program, you're going to be given some tools and some directions and so forth, but understand something. You want to make sure that you vet it well. And anything that you do, you want to make sure that you talk to your primary care doctor to make sure that it goes in tandem step with anything that they may agree with or have a different in thought on that subject. But let's get started. We have a phenomenal opportunity today. We have a doctor that will be my guest, who is someone who I've known for many, many years, and he's brilliant, to put it very mildly. He's almost like the guy who can put together the witch's brew. A little story about Dr. John Lawrence. Dr. John is out of Sarasota, Florida. Several of you know that a couple of years ago that I had a very significant problem where I fell and I ended up with a concussion quite significantly. I hit the floor, and over a period of time, I had difficulty moving. And even though that I'm in the world of integrative and natural therapeutics and I have great people around me, I reached outside of that and reached out to Dr. John, who I had known for a while, and said, hey, I need help. So I went down to his clinic in Sarasota, Florida, and he began to treat me. I was there for about 17 days. But the reason I went is I could barely walk. My muscular system was starting to tighten up, and it was brain miscommunication with the rest of my body. And then after 17 days, I was able to walk, thanks to Dr. John, with all kinds of IV drips and functional neurology and so forth. His background is amazing. Dr. John he's a chiropractor. He's a naturopathic physician. He has a background in functional neurology. I could go on and on about this man, but he's incredible. He has a company called MitoZen, which produces some of the best natural therapeutic products on the marketplace, the Rozell Center for Healing and its affiliates use those as well. And we're going to give you the opportunity to be able to link into that from our webpage, which is drtomrozell.com. And you'll find that there's affiliate relationships there as well. Having said that, it's time to get Dr. John on. Dr. John, welcome. And thank you for saying yes and be able to do this with me today.
Yeah, Dr. Tom, what an introduction. I feel blessed to be in your presence and to have the relationship that we have, and we learn a lot from each other. And I can almost mirror all of those comments right back to you as well.
Well, I appreciate it. Obviously, we've become very good friends, but more importantly is the bandwidth of being able to sit and discuss topics with you that most people don't even want to, you know, to broach, let alone get into details and specificities. You treat huge numbers of conditions across the board. You were doing a lot of allographic stem cell injections at one point when, you know, things were available. You do exosome injections. You put together natural therapeutics and IV drips that really turn people around. But the topic that I want to discuss with you today is the immune response in the world of COVID. You know, in any kind of viral pattern, actually, we can take it outside of that. We're going to talk about bacterial infections. You know, there's a guy by the name of Louis Pasteur that came up with the antibiotic bug theory, right? And what people forget that he actually said at his deathbed, he said that I was wrong. It's not the bug, it's the terrain. It's the body's immunological responses. Some people can be exposed to a virus and never have a problem with it. You know, we've heard all the topics on natural immunity and so forth, that we have the vaccines that are out there now, we'll call them, you know, the shot. But let's get into that. You know, in your opinion, let's start.
If I could just interrupt you for a second, because while you were talking, I just kind of had this like really cool thought. You know, the terrain, I would offer to you that the terrain is one issue. And for people that are listening to this, when we say terrain, we're talking about the same thing. If we were to farm, we can grow healthy plants with quality soil. And that even like when they look at soil, if it's more alkaline, there's less bugs and there's less fungus and so forth. So the plants are healthier. So when we say terrain, that's kind of what we're looking at. But I would almost offer, and there's such a relationship between all of them, but the readiness of the immune system. And in my mind, I was almost thinking like, you know, the melatonin status of the individual as well.
And most people forget about that.
Yeah, I think that there's kind of like, you know, you say terrain, but there's so many different spokes and conversations that we can have with regards to the status of the body to withstand stress, because infection is a stress. And I get into these conversations with people with stress, and it's one of my favorite topics to really talk about, because I think that's really what we're about to dive into.
Absolutely. And, you know, in my world, in the area that I've been in for 44 years, in the world of natural medicine and integrative therapy, applied kinesiology, which is my platform, we look at the body as being stressed by three things, if you will. Injury to the body, whether it's significant or if it's minor. I mean, going to the dentist and he gets the vertical dimension of a tooth incorrect, it's going to affect the 22 bones of the skull and spinal fluid flow and so forth. Mm-hmm. But biochemical, bioelectrical, all those things that are exogenous outside of the body, things that we eat we shouldn't be eating, things that we need more of we don't get enough of, the electrical fields of the body, you know, the xenoestrogens that they have in foods, all those affect us, the 5G networks, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then the emotional system, and it's the decision-making process of the mind. It's not, we call it stress, but it's really your body walks in tandem with whatever your primary belief is. If you say thing is, the body says, okay, I'm all in. And mm-hmm. subsequently, you express that physiologically. But mm-hmm. let's talk about that. You see these things on a day-to-day basis. Is there any one of these things that are more distinct than the other, or do they all work in equilibrium to each other?
You know, I think for each individual, there's going to be some things that are going to be more priorities. I know in your office, you prioritize certain things using kinesiological testing. And I think that that's important because, you know, like yourself, you know, we treat a lot of chronic diseases here. And it gets to the point where, you know, even easy cases, you have to stage things. It's not like you can say, oh, you have 10 things wrong and we're going to work on all of them at one time. Sometimes you have to fix the gut, right, before you go in and, you know, go to the next phase.
Almost always.
I look at that with all the different stressors as well as like, you know, we see a lot of people here with mold and Lyme illness and, you know, getting out of a moldy house, like, so that stressor of that biotoxin in the home while you sleep, Wi-Fi, you know, there's some really easy things that you can kind of, what I call low-lying fruit that you can go in and make some changes with that can drastically improve your immune system. And if we're talking about COVID, we're really talking about, I think, globally improving the immune response. But then there's also some specific strategies I think we're probably going to get into later.
Yeah, we are. So let's pick this apart a little bit. Let's talk about the primary of immunological responses in the body. What causes, when you look at the immune system and a patient comes in to see you, they're desperately ill, they've had all kinds of things that are going on. Do you start focusing on, you said the gut, and mm-hmm. obviously it depends on the literature that you read, 70% to 80% of the immune response is intestinal tract. Is it the T cells? Is it spleen? Is it, how do you distinguish where the body is breaking down? And we'll get into the predispositions, what predisposes those systems not to work properly.
Well, you know, I have a little bit of a different approach than I know you do clinically, but then there's some commonalities. I know both of us, you much more than I, use kinesiological testing. We have a device called an Asira, which actually you can see behind me here.
It's a great piece of equipment.
And that lets us check the energetics. So it's testing for basically stress patterns in the body through different frequencies. And then of course, blood work, patient's history, patient's presentation, examination findings. And you try to put all that together and you try to, and often, Tom, you know, I think you may be, especially in a lot of these complex cases, you know, it's difficult to really nail it down completely in some cases, because you know, you're like an investigator, right? You're walking into a crime scene and the crime's already happened, right? And you're like, okay, well, I see this, I see that, I see that. So like, for instance, Lyme, and I'm kind of thinking in my mind, Lyme and biotoxin illness specifically, because it's not always easy to absolutely diagnose that. You are within a relative field of certainty with that. So there's some lab tests that I've discovered through my journey. I've been very sick in the past with Lyme and mold illness and viral, like out of control, like Epstein-Barr, CMV, HHV6. So I've had to really rebuild myself, learn a lot. We've used a lot of that knowledge to build on some protocols that we have here.
But Lyme, you know, Lyme patterns, as you said, John, is simply this. It hides. It has the biofilm that locks it into the body. And it's very difficult, even through applied kinesiological testing, to distinguish and define at some levels. And if you do a straight up test like a Western blot, it only measures certain parts of that Lyme exposure. The same thing with mycological organisms and so forth. So you have to have an approach where you're using a multidimensional diagnostic acumen, if you will, laboratory work. Now, there's labs out there that will do everything, and they'll give you all the subfractions. You know, when we look at a CBC, a complete blood count, which most physicians look and they look at it, well, if it's within the parameters, and the parameters are so huge, they don't take the patient into consideration. But let's say we have a white blood count that is within normal realms, but we look at the subfractions, something like the monocytes and the eosinophils and the basophils and the neutrophils and so forth, lymphocytes, you start seeing an interpretation, see the shifting that goes on between, to start with, the lymphocytes and the neutrophils. If the neutrophils start going down, the lymphocytes start going up, it begins to suggest that you may have a viral pattern. Then you look down, you see the monocytes, which should only be about 3-5% of the field. Now, if they suddenly start kicking up with that other shifting, that gives you a pretty good suspicion that you got a viral something, something that's going on. In our world, 100% of the population, if you will, has a positive Epstein-Barr virus antibody. I mean, we've all been exposed to it at one time. So it depends on the rest of the immune system, whether or not we're going to get it. In the world that we're living in right now with this this COVID and the Delta variants, and then there's going to be an Alpha variant, and there's going to be other variants that are going to come out. There are people that have not been vaccinated and never get the problem. And there's some people that their stress levels are really, really high and succumb to it. I've treated patients over the last 18 months or so that I know were positive COVID patients. And, you know, I, at this point, have chosen not to be vaccinated. Did I see what the outcomes are going to be down the road? There's too many ways of treating it. And we can, you know, everything from ivermectin to hydroxychloroquine to monoclonal antibodies to something melatonin. Called serotonin. Melatonin is very impactful. So all of those things, you know, when we look at, you know, these viral elements, why does somebody like me, you know, when I'm exposed, I don't take any drugs. Obviously, I'm older than a lot of our viewers today, but I'm cool. I'm fine. And I rarely get sick. I haven't had really anything in my entire 44 years of practice. If I've had six, I'll extend it, let's say a dozen Advil over those years, I've had no other drugs in my body. Why me and not everybody else? And that brings us into immunological response. How do you look at that?
Well, you know, we know that COVID specifically is much more dangerous with older patients, right? So we'll look at what's the difference between an old patient and a young patient. And so there's an immune situation where it's called immunosenescence, right? Immunosenescence, as we get older, we start to lose our immune system, and immune cells go into this permanent state of like sleepiness. And immunosenescence, you know, there's a lot of degeneration that happens of the thymus gland, as you know, and we lose the ability to have a proper immune response under chronic stress, or aging. Having birthdays is actually a challenge for us. One of the primary components of that also is these natural killer cells. And this is one of the primary cells that finds viral infected cells, the natural killer cells. It also finds cancer cells. And are you familiar with Rafael Gonzalez out in Mexico? It's like 30, 35 grand, and then you have travel expenses, but they'll take your blood and they'll expand your natural killer cells. And the primary people going out there for that are chronic viral infections and also cancer patients. But, you know, I would offer, there was a study they did in 2015, and they actually found that melatonin supplementation had a radical positive impact on regenerating the thymus and increasing natural killer cells in the body. So literally, you know, there's something called autophagy, which cleans up these senescent cells. So this is, I think, an important concept for a lot of people to realize, because then we can talk about fasting a little bit. But there's like this sleep-wake cycle that we run into. And there's also a cycle where we have feast and fast. So when we're feasting, we're building and creating new cells and tissues. When we're fasting, we're breaking down and recycling them. And so what happens is we lose that recycling situation, where that's called autophagy. And this is where we clean up these zombie senescent cells. So anybody really interested in having a really healthy immune system, anybody interested in living longer, having less inflammation, then cleaning up senescent cells should be something that you are focused on. And so fasting triggers this cleanup phase. And so when you start looking at these old dysfunctional immune cells, we want to look at doing periodic fasting, whether it's intermittent fasting or extended fasting. And then we want to do things to trigger rebuilding new immune cells. And so that's where you start getting into your sleep patterns and having a very powerful sleep pattern. And so I would offer that there's very few things that can or has been shown in research to be as impactful at supporting the immune system as supplementing with melatonin.
Yeah, there's a piece of the puzzle that nobody's been looking at through this whole thing. Obviously, you do, and you know we're aware of it. And you talked a little bit about the thymus and the production of T cells, which are primary components against viral entities of any sort. But because of stress patterns that occur over years, the exposures to environmental toxins, the injury patterns that we deal with, and so forth, it's part of that whole stress fight flight phenomenon, because cortisol levels start spiking through the ceiling. And with cortisol that's produced by the adrenal glands, the outside shell of the adrenal system, if cortisol gets way too high, it eats the body. If it's way too low, the body can't repair itself. And there's a direct response relationship to those systems. So, you know, we're putting all these things in the body to try to upregulate the system, but the thymus, which also is directly connected to response from the pineal gland and its production of melatonin, and the pineal gland over a period of years gets shut down. It mm-hmm. gets frozen, if you will, and there's alkaline crystalline formation. That's right.
Yeah. And so you want to avoid drinking fluoride is probably the biggest thing you can do for your pineal. But ultimately, if you look at a graph with someone from, you know, when they're first born to like 80, 100 years old, melatonin just goes way, way down. So it doesn't matter what you do, you are not going to make the amount of melatonin that you did when you were young. And there's also a lot of what I call melatonin headwinds, you know, the light that you have in and around your house or that you're looking at when the sun goes down, EMF, basically tricks your pineal into thinking that it's daytime and so it doesn't produce melatonin. You know, just cortisol spikes later in the day, you know, where we have mental, emotional stress. So there's just so many different headwinds. So I would offer that supplementing with melatonin, regardless of how rigorous you might kind of work around it, is going to be necessary, especially today.
John, the interesting thing is, and you know, this was something I learned from you about 5 years ago when we first met. You go to the marketplace or most physicians' offices, and you know, they say, well, you might need a little melatonin. And for whatever reason, a hallucinogenic pattern, they're in at that point. And they give the patient 3, 5, maybe 10, maybe 20. Over the years, I rarely gave any more than 50. So then I meet you at a conference and we start talking, and I find out that you're supplementing 100, 200, even more.
Even more.
And I'm saying, how can that be possible? Because the old literature was one that melatonin will trigger negative responses that'll increase the production of tumor formations and cancers and so forth, which is totally untrue. I mean, the literature doesn't bear that out when you really start digging into it. But you've been using the impact of high levels of melatonin for years, and you use it both liposomal, and you use it also with rectal suppositories, which is a direct absorption pattern. How did you decide, and how did you get into it? I know you have a book, and we'll talk about that as well, and it's coming out in a short period of time. How did you, what led you to that place where you said, you know, melatonin is one of the primary immunological supports that need to be present in the body for the body to heal?
Well, I had been hearing rumors about some practitioners using super high doses of melatonin. I sat next to one practitioner at an event, and he had mentioned, hey, this is really working really well in my clinic. So it was that, you know, unsolicited, you know, response from this doctor that really got my attention. And then I did an internship with Frank Schallenberger in Reno, Nevada.
Oh, wow.
And
great guy.
He's literally one of the original functional doctors, brought ozone here from Germany. And we should definitely talk a little bit about ozone and viral infections. And don't let me forget to tell you our experience with a patient recently. Dr. Schallenberger was using these really high doses of melatonin. And at the time I was post my, you know, I had recovered in my mind as much as I thought I really could from Lyme and mold, but I was still having a lot of word finding issues, and I was having some cognitive and memory. And he seemed to feel like going on these really high doses, both day and night, for a period of time would help clear that up. And he was absolutely dead on. So then I started to really dive into the research, and befriended Russell Reiter, this is a really interesting scientist. He was the one that discovered that the pineal isn't just a useless gland. And this was in the late 60s. And then he went on to really be the primary researcher for a large body of studies for melatonin and infection and, you know, just a number of different applications. And so, you know, I found out the smartest man in the world with regards to melatonin was dosing 100 to 200 milligrams a night. So, you know, all those things kind of coalesced for me to be inspired to write a book.
Wow. You know, and just to give a little further background, when I went down to see you, obviously I wasn't sleeping because of the pain my body was in, and it had to do with the concussive pattern that took place. And you put me on some really heavy duty levels of melatonin. I think I was taking at one point about 400 milligrams a night. And obviously you sleep very deeply. And initially when you're resetting that circadian rhythm, you feel a little dopey in the morning when you're getting up, but your body then begins to reset itself and restore what is normal and what it should have been doing years ago. And melatonin is not only immunological support, but it's also, if I'll use the term, a fountain of youth. And it begins to, you know, restore the body. It gets rid of the senescent cells and helps that. The one thing that I do want to go over after we touch on this a little bit is I want to get into that fasting pattern again and what it really does for the body. And because there's stages that you've used, there's a preparatory stage, there's a stage within the fast, and then there's a stage after where you're actually going to regenerate your own stem cells and get the body to begin to repair itself.
Yeah.
You know, for our viewers, I want them to know that if they go to drtomrozell.com, There's an affiliate link that goes to your company, to Mito Zen, and they'll see it. It's there, and there's going to be all kinds of things that are put on there. So that site is being set up so people can really learn from, and we want you to take advantage of that. And those of you who would like to continually be informed, there's going to be a way for you to sign up for newsletters, and we'll send it to you. So drtomrozelle.com, real easy, drtomrozelle.com. And you'll see the link to the podcast as well, Ageless Health by Dr. Tom Rozelle. It'll all be there. So take a walk through it, and there'll be products available. And, you know, we'll link to some of the best people that we know of in the marketplace, like you, Dr. John. And so let's talk a little bit more about that impact when it comes to the utilization of melatonin. Most people can't get well because they don't sleep. Most people can't get well because they can't stimulate primary immune support through the thymus gland and, you know, the other aspects of the gut. It has a direct response on all of those things. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot that's related to the sympathetics, you know, and I think that we have a society that's locked in sympathetic dominance, so that you have the fight or flight and the resting and digesting part of your autonomic nervous system. And so when people have inflammation in their body, or they have mental, emotional stress, or they're not sleeping, or there's something that's stressing them out to the point where they're out of their familiar zone and they're starting to get into more of a danger zone within that stressor, then you're going to have cytokines, which are inflammatory markers. And every stress is going to provide for a certain set of cytokines to be released. But ultimately what happens is that that shuts down our energy making capacity to generally, it's about 10% of what it would be otherwise. And melatonin is literally made within each cell to buffer that stress. So what that does is it allows us to have, to be able to take and tolerate more stress before our bodies actually become damaged. So I think that we have a situation where when people aren't sleeping and they're diving into their sleep and they're having a high spike in melatonin, what's happening is that's actually supporting your parasympathetic nervous system, which is that resting and digesting. In fact, it's the primary support to that. Then you get up and you think about, you spring out of bed, you got cortisol, that's basically triggering the sympathetics and you get stuff done, right? So what's happening is people are kind of chronically stuck in this sympathetic dominance, which that shuts down rest, that, you know, digestion, right? So we have bad gut, then oftentimes we look upstream and we say, well, okay, we can work on the gut till the cows come home. But if we don't fix the autonomics, which is the balance. So, you know, people should start looking at maybe heart rate variability. That's a really big and easy thing to look at with a lot of wearable devices. And you want your heart rate variability to be higher. And when it starts to dip down low, then that usually indicates that there's too much sympathetics.
You know, we've been aware of that for years, as you have as well. And again, the devices are now are very available. They're not expensive. There's clamp-ons to your fingers. They attach to your cell phones, and you can actually begin to monitor. You can do things from meditation or prayer, whatever is the best fit for you. Learning how to handle your immunological response, seeing what stretching patterns do, getting treated in the world that you're in or mine. And you'll find that these things shift. But you know, the biggest mistake, as you began to allude to, for people at nighttime is that they don't sleep well. And what I mean by that is simply this. There's ambient lights in the room. They have a nightlight on, or they're very close to their computers. They don't turn off the EMF fluxes in their room, the electromagnetic frequencies. They don't have blackout. The room is too hot. It's not cool. Mm-hmm. All the things that are necessary for the body to go into a REM state and to be able to happen. Your pineal gland turns on at nighttime. We can go back to the old culture and say it's the third eye. It's the receiver and the transmitter. It's the ability for your body to do what it needs to get done. But it's that rhythm that it should have to follow on a day-to-day basis. if you get up in the morning and your cortisol is way down, it's crashed, it's because your fight flight system, your sympathetic system is not responding properly. Mm-hmm. If you go to bed at nighttime and your cortisol is too high, so you have a reverse rhythm, if you will, and none of that's taking place. But with the things that we're talking about, you can reverse that. But what I want our viewers to understand is that when that regulatory mechanism is not working properly, it's not adapting to environmental stressors, your body's immune system is not supporting you properly. And now you become more susceptible to viral loads. Mm-hmm. The thymus isn't kicking in. Your defense mechanisms, your white blood cells aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, and so forth. John, let's talk a little bit about the fasting pattern that you came up with. I thought it was brilliant, and we've begun to use it, you know, with our patients as well. And it's, you know, whether somebody's fasting for a day a week, or they're fasting for 3 days once a month, or mm-hmm. what they're doing. But we talked about initially that there's a preparatory pattern for that. That mm-hmm. you use NAD, and then you use Lucitol, then you use mTOR, and they do different things within the body. Let's go over that just a little bit, because that's going to be available as well on our website.
Yeah. So the Fast Track Fast is a protocol that's easy to implement if you're a practitioner in your clinic, or if you're someone that's listening to this that you're looking to do something to really improve your health. So it's all about signaling. So we have this, we're signaling gene expression in the body. When we eat, it's going to signal certain gene expressions. When we fast, we're going to be signaling certain gene expressions. What scientists are finding is that we're eating too much. I mean, just straight up, people are not giving themselves enough time between eating for their body to clean and recycle enough. And so when you're not cleaning and recycling, it would, you know, you think about your city, and if the trash stopped coming and, you know, they weren't recycling and there was nowhere for this trash to go, right? Or let's say this might be a better way to describe it, is let's say if we took all the cars and we didn't let anybody get a new car, we kept with these same old cars, in 20 years from now, we would have a city full of a lot of pollution, and we would be using a lot of gas. So we're using more energy and we're producing more toxins, right? So this is what happens with our cells, is they get to a point where they just aren't functional as much, and they really should be taken to the recycling and made into a new cell. And that doesn't happen, particularly under a lot of chronic stress. So this can happen with younger people with certain stressors. But then there's also just the aging process. It naturally becomes more difficult for us as we get older to clear these, especially if we're not fasting adequately. So there are some very basic suggestions that we might look at, which is first a time-restricted eating, where we might eat within a window of 10 hours, 12 hours, right? So the rest of the time we would be fasting. Right. And so we have bigger windows that we can do, where we can do a 24-hour lunch to lunch fast, or you could do a longer fast where you could do a 3-day, a 5-day, or even longer. So the more you fast, the more you deeply get into this recycling phase. And it's called autophagy.
You're about to do some housekeeping, house cleaning.
Yeah. Yeah. Autophagy is Greek for self-eating. And this is where the body goes in and cleans and recycles. So what we've done is we've layered a couple of different things. One is we want to energize the cells with something called NAD, which is also depleted with stress and age. And actually the two primary depleters stressor-wise is alcohol and sleep deprivation. Like if you're not sleeping properly, you're likely, you have very low NAD levels. And these this is like a family to niacin. And when you supplement that NAD back into an individual, you have better brain function, you have better heart function. You're at a cellular level, you actually can make more energy efficiently. So we preload people prior to a fast with some really special NAD products that would be on par with going to a clinic and spending thousands of dollars for an IV. And so particularly I would say that it's the NAD Max suppository, but it also is available and liposomal. Then when you go into a fasting, and we usually will have people do a lunch to lunch at the least, but they could do a longer fast. You had mentioned Lucitol, and Lucitol has all these fabulous plants. I would say sterile stilbene and fisetin and resveratrol are probably the primary polyphenols, but these are incredibly anti-inflammatory. They promote autophagy, and they're also considered senolytics. So the data and the research on these polyphenols is really phenomenal for improving vitality, extending life, improving immune function. So we kind of layer it. So you're fasting and you're taking these senolytics. And then just as important as fasting, because you're breaking things down, is the refeeding. A lot of people don't pay attention to that because you want to increase your protein intake. That's right. And you want to increase that signaling factor. So your body goes in and makes new cells and tissues and releases stem cells. And so we actually have a product that activates those signaling pathways on that phase three as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've been using a lot of it in the clinic based on your protocol because it's easy to do. You know, when you're talking about intermittent fasting, which you were you led in with, I eat usually about every 12 hours. And for me, that works because I'm on the go, I'm pushing and so forth. And some people get down to 8 hours and 6 hours and so forth. But the trick there is that your food has to be optimal. And you have to have adequate amounts of protein to begin to repair and rebuild your system because the amino acids are critical. And it depends on your stress level. So there's no one cookie cutter for everybody. You have to look at their ultimate stress levels, their lifestyles, the things that they do and so forth. But quality is the critical piece. So you have to make sure that what's going into the system is as best as you can possibly get, because otherwise your body's going to build up more debris and your body has to get rid of the garbage. And now you've caused other issues as well. As you get through that on an intermittent phase, now cleaning the system out, going into that day or two or three fast, and everybody can do it once a week. And even if you did it twice a month, it's going to have benefits. So you're using the NAD, as you said, it's depleted dramatically as we get aged, and particularly under stress patterns. And then some people will say that it's part of cellular degradation and getting old too quickly once that's depleted, and then going into the reformative stage and then the supportive stage, if you will, we'll use it that way. But you can do 1 day, you can do 2 days, you can do 3 days. And the protocol that we've learned from you is that, you know, if you're going to do a 3 day fast, you do 3 days of prep with NAD. And during the 3 day fast, then you're going to use the Lucitol, then the 3 days after you're going to use the mTOR. So, and if you do 1 day, it's 1 day. If you do 2 days, it's 2 days and so forth. And it works dramatically well. And again, I want our listeners, our viewers to be aware that if they go on line at drtomrozell.com, you'll find a lot of this there and the information is there. John.
And Tom, I would offer that, you know, if people are looking for kind of a simplistic, you know, way to improve their immune function, if they were to do just a 24-hour fast 1 day a week, they decrease their eating window, like, you know, at least 12 hours, if not a little bit more. And then add in melatonin. And even if it's just 5 or 10 milligrams, there's studies showing that that helps, right? So
absolutely,
oral melatonin is not very well absorbed. It's only 2.5% of the melatonin is absorbed. That's why we go to suppositories and liposomals. And the gut, by the way, produces 400 times more melatonin than the brain does. So when you start looking at using melatonin for things outside of sleep, using higher doses begins to make more sense. And there is a body of research showing that the higher doses can be very beneficial.
You know,
just those two changes, right, could really have a massive impact on the immune response.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And what I was going to say is that most people, and particularly doctors, aren't aware that the gut produces melatonin. And, you know, that's where we get the terms the second brain, you know, the intestinal tract, and because it has those, it produces almost 80% of all the neurotransmitters that the brain uses. And they said, well, it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. It absolutely does. That's where it needs to, because the brain needs so much of that, it can't produce it on its own. So it's got to get it from somewhere. And that somewhere is the intestinal tract. So intestinal health and the production of these things and being in an environment that is absolute supportive of immunological response is the first primary step of not only keeping somebody well and keeping their immune system nice and strong, but bringing them back to health, if you will, over a period of time. Dr. John, you when we talked about doing the program, you said that you wanted to make people aware that there was a special offer with your book, that if they wanted to get it, and it's a book that's going to be published. It's on melatonin, and it's coming out within a short period of time, but they can get a downloaded version of it, right?
It's out in PDF. We have a couple of chapters that I had to finish. If you go to melatoninbook.com and do you want to, how about code Tom? Dr. Tom.
Okay, we could do that. Just okay. D-R-T-O-M.
So you get a free download. So go to, yeah, D-R-T-O-M. So go to melatoninbook.com, and it's normally, I think, $20 to download the book. There's about, I think, 19 chapters there. Ultimately, the book's going to be about 21 chapters. But I think most people are going to be really blown away. Now, it's a lot to kind of take in, but you really only need, at a minimum, is to read the first chapter or two and then skip ahead to whatever chapter is most interesting to you. If you want to learn about the immune system, or you want to learn about cellular energy, or the skin, or the gut, or the nervous system, you can skip to those specific chapters.
So if you were to outline a punch list, if you will, for patients to stay well, particularly in this crazy world of viruses and immunological responses that we're, you know, we're under a fear pattern. Oh my God, this is going to happen. You and I are the same ilk. We understand, you know, what's really taking place, but we want to support our viewers. We want to support our patients that we see. From your platform, how would you direct them? What would you tell them they need to do to maintain their health so they're not susceptible to any kind of external environmental stimulus, viruses, if you will?
Well, you know, I would have like an action plan for when you contract, if you contract COVID. And leading up to that, there's some nice research on, you know, melatonin. We talked about that. I think there should be like a dose that you're on as a preventative. You know, there was a study that they did last year where they actually showed that being on 40 milligrams of oral melatonin decreased the ability to catch COVID by 56%. So it may help you there. And then if you catch it, then you'll want to go, I think, much higher, 200, 300, 400 milligrams day and night. Olive leaf extract, it's not really as much of an antimicrobial as much as it's modulates that inflammatory response. So you'll want to take it ahead of time. Zinc, I think everybody should be on zinc. Quercetin could be really helpful because it gets zinc into the cell. Iodine, I think, is something that's important to look at for a lot of people. And you know, what's happening is, you know, I've gone through a situation where I caught COVID, and, this was about 6 weeks ago. So I learned a lot, and I don't think you and I have been able to really talk about this much, but I learned a lot through that experience on after, because you can't smell, you can't taste, you know, you have this incredible fatigue and this brain fog. So what I discovered was it's absolutely important to support the adrenals and the thyroid. And I think the thyroid just takes a massive hit. So it's just a massive stressor to the body. So it just depletes you. So you want to look at that. And, you know, I know both of us have, you know, a lot of different strategies that we might use. We actually were using just like a straight T3 for the thyroid. at least initially, just to kind of help to flush the system a little bit. Cytomel,
little bit. Yep.
You will need a prescription for that. But there's also other ways to support it with herbs and homeopathics. And the next thing is huge. It's methylation, you know. Methylating substances are just completely depleted. And so this is what I think really causes a lot of neurological challenges is that, you know, we lose our methylation, which is a primary way that we detox.
And most people understand that, you know, at least the physicians that are listening to us and so for the natural practitioners, that that basic pattern starts with the correct ratios, B12 to folate, that kicks in both methylation pathways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when we're dealing with, you know, this methylation cycle, we use, and when you're dealing with B12, there's several different forms. You have the cyanocobalamin, you have the methylcobalamin, you have the hydroxycobalamin. So most people would think, well, we need, and tetra, by the way, there's four different pieces of it. Most people would say, oh, well, if it's a methylation cycle, I need to use the methyl pathway. Not necessarily. The one that we find actually works as the best as a scavenger, if you will, using the term affectionately, is the hydroxy form. Mm-hmm. And we want to use a ratio of folate 5-2. Why the folate is because almost 50% or more of the population has a difficult time converting folic acid into its usable form, folate. And mm-hmm. that's the important piece. We have that, it's called an MTHFR failure, the inability to convert that into a usable form. So when we're dealing with upregulating those things and getting the body to work properly, making sure that the thyroid's working, and you said you're using Cytomel, which is an artificial T3 or synthetic T3, which works very well for a lot of people, particularly if they have immune function problems with the thyroid. They don't want it to be attacked. They won't attack a synthetic form. But the liver is responsible for converting T4, thyroxin, into its active form of T3. And here we have the same type of problem. The liver may not be working properly because it's toxic. And so it can't make the conversion the way it's supposed to. So going back to your fasting protocol, we clear out the cells, we clear out the liver function, get the system to work properly, and give it a little bit of support as we're going through. John, what I want to touch upon, and we're coming to a place where, you know, I want to wrap this up just a little bit, but let's talk a little bit about long haulers. There's a lot of people out there that are suffering. They've had COVID. They've had the Delta variant. We know that people, even that they've had the shot, the vaccine, so to speak, that they still can carry this stuff, that they still can come down with the problem. But people who've gotten sick have a long haulers presentation, many of them, not all of them, besides taste, besides smell. Some of them are losing their hair, you know, in big clumps because the hair falls out like nothing I've ever seen before. Fortunately, it does come back over a period of time. The anxiety pattern that goes along with it is horrible. The people are freaking out. They go into
and the depression associated with it. I went through that after my bout with COVID. It was just, I mean, your perspective on reality is just completely shifted to a bit of a dark place. Yeah.
How would you handle that with somebody? I mean, obviously you went through it. You had, you know, lumps and bumps. Thank God you pulled out of it very nicely. But a patient walks in, I'm sure like us, you've had the opportunity now to treat some long haulers. How do you approach it?
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to melatonin. I think melatonin could be really helpful for a lot of these cases. CBD, I know there's some smaller companies that have done some small studies showing that there's benefit to larger, you know, dosing of CBD. You know, I think it's just back to basics, Tom. I think that, you know, we need to look at basically repairing the body. There's just a massive stress. It's almost like it's cellular PTSD. Right. So we have to, and you know what, listen, as healthy as I am, I felt like I was going to die a couple of, you know, a day or two, like it got so bad that it was like, wow, you know, am I going to make it? And I knew one thing for sure is I did not want to go to the hospital because I'm hearing what's happening at the hospitals and it wasn't something that I felt was right for me. And so there's almost a bit of PTSD with that, you know, because you're facing your demise, mortality. You know? Yeah. And I think that's at a primary core fear pattern that we all carry is, you know, death. And so I do feel that most people, especially the Delta variant, which is what I caught, is going to give people a little taste of that. And if they're not able to process that and integrate it afterwards, then just the emotional penumbra after that event could literally put you in process and could look like long haulers, right? Because if you're in distress and you've got PTSD, you're certainly not going to be sleeping well. You're certainly not going to be producing melatonin. Your immune system's not going to bounce back. Your gut's not going to be functioning. Your liver's not going to be detoxifying. Yeah, one other little tidbit too that I'd like to bring to your attention, because I don't think we talked about this, but and I could be totally off on this. It was just something that I decided to do with myself, and I've done that with just a handful of other patients. Is I had them take cholestyramine for a few days, and so for those of you that may not be familiar, there's binders because. When we have an infection, infections put out this fat soluble toxin they call biotoxins. So, you know, there's biotoxins that come out from COVID that include those spike proteins. But my postulation was that these biotoxins would find themselves in this cycle where they go through your liver and gallbladder and they're basically dissolved in your bile. They're reabsorbed in your large intestine. They just keep on cycling. So these biotoxins have a specific charge where they're a negative charge and the biotoxins are negative charge. So the cholestyramine is a positive charge. So even charcoal, you're not going to get that dynamic. And so it's very difficult to really mop these up. Cholestyramine is a prescription binder. So you'd need to get a prescription for that. But I did do that, and that did seem to give me some support as well. So I think that what's happening is some people coming out of COVID maybe just aren't doing what they need to do to clean up and allow their body to repair. I think there's mental, emotional stresses that play into it. And then I think that there's my two strategies that I would offer would be CBD and melatonin.
You know, the other thing that I would throw into that we're using with our patients is, what it does is it helps blunt the spike protein is NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Mm. But you have to take it about 1,800 milligrams a day. The unfortunate part is in retail, you can't get it anymore. The FDA took it off the market. Why? Because it works. But we are utilizing that, and we're clearing liver function. We're using high levels of glutathione as well. And the precursor, the NAC obviously is a precursor of glutathione. Mm-hmm. You use a lot of it with IV, and we're using liposomal forms as well as suppository forms. But, wow. We could go on for hours on this, and I want to come back and revisit this again, you know, and make sure. But the one thing that I want to also encourage our viewers that get yourself hooked up with a natural healthcare center that does acupuncture, that does functional neurology, basic manual manipulation, chiropractic, and so forth. That all by itself dramatically upregulates and increases your body's immune response. There was a study, John, in our field years ago at Palmer College out in Davenport, Iowa, going back to 1918 when the Spanish flu came about. And what they saw was that people who were treated with structural manual manipulation on a regular basis, opposed to those who were treated medically during the time of this Spanish flu. And by the way, my grandmother died in Sicily of the Spanish flu, that the comparison medically, I think, and I'm not exact numbers, but I'm close, those who were treated medically, one out of about ever 750, 800 people died. those who were treated conservatively structurally, and by the way, we're outside with vitamin D, and we forgot to mention that, which is critical, was about one out of every 3,500. So the
we did forget to talk about vitamin D, and that's a really, really important subject we kind of breezed over. But yep. Back to the Spanish flu.
Yeah. So anyway, but the ones, and the other piece of that is the people that were left outside in tents because there were so many people that were sick and dying. The ones that were outside in the sun that they didn't have room for inside, very few of them died because of the vitamin D simulation. The new research in vitamin D, if you look at normal lab tests, it said you got to keep it under 100. You know, anything that is above 32 is okay. Well, it's not the truth. Your sweet spot should be about 90 to 95. And the new functional medicine guidelines is anything under 150 units is okay. It's not an issue. It's not going to hurt you. But vitamin D is critical. And so many of us are cave dwellers. We don't get outside. So now we become much more susceptible. But if everything that we talked about today, the two things that I would lead with, and we didn't talk about that either, zinc. So vitamin D and zinc and melatonin.
I mentioned zinc earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. Those three things would be my go-to plus structural work. Dr. John, this is, you know, like I said, we could sit here and chat the rest of the day and it would be just scratching the surface.
You know, Tom, before we close out, I had mentioned earlier, don't forget to remind me about the story with my grandmother, right?
Ah, that's right. I forgot.
So she's overweight. She's got a heart condition and she calls and says, hey, listen, somebody that I'm caring for has COVID and I think I'm coming down with it. And so like, you know, okay, follow yourself. And, you know, she's checking her oxygen level and I'm coaching her that we want to do everything we can to avoid you going to the hospital, right? Because the last thing I want them doing is putting her on a ventilator where then she has a 20% chance of living. So the next day I call her up and she's like, I'm not well. She couldn't even answer the phone. She texts me saying, not good at all, can't stand, can't walk. So I sent my nurse over there and she's about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. I sent my nurse over there with an IV ozone and a vitamin, high dose vitamin C IV. And then we had some, you know, melatonin, some other things. My nurse came back and said, I could not believe it. I saw your grandmother looking like she was about to die. 2 hours later, after the IV started, she was standing up, she was talking to me, she was thanking me like, wow, I feel so much better. This is the type of thing that I wish was offered in our hospitals. Do you know how many people would be saved with that? I mean, we only went out there and did that for her twice and she was like, fine. Like she sailed through it, no problem at all. She's feeling great.
It kicks in, you know, just using vitamin C, it stimulates your own cell production of interferon, which is a natural antiviral. Our bodies are designed to protect themselves, but because of all the stresses that we've talked about, we begin to dumb it down. Dr. John, thank you, buddy. We'll do this again.
And you're welcome.
We'll pick another the topic. You're watching Ageless Health by Dr. Tom Rozelle, and continue to watch for our podcast. We're going to have interesting topics, things that you can apply. And my goal, my purpose is simply this: to serve, educate, and empower you, and simply for one reason, we love you.